It's 11:15 on a Friday night. Do you know where your husband is? It's time for forecast. Well, I know that's what my wife's thinking.
Well, yeah, I'm sure mine is too. She's probably upstairs sleeping, and here I am downstairs talking on the computer.
When you need a four-part plus, listen to the Barbershop Forecast. You'll always know the score. Beg for more from all the knowledge you've amassed.
We bet you
will be aghast, 'cause it downloads to your hard drive mighty fast. So strike up the band and give them a hand for Eric and Alan's Barbershop. It's unsurpassed, and here at last, the Barbershop Forecast.
You know, my wife's sitting in front of a nice cozy fire, and I am in this, I don't know, this cubby. This cubby with enough electric juice going through it to light up half of Boston.
Well, I don't have quite as much electricity. Actually, I turned stuff off so I wouldn't have extra noise going. But
that's just amazing. I think that's amazing. Hey, it's Eric Brixen.
And it's Alan Levigeau here from, that would be your
Forecast. Cue. That would be my cue. Forecast, the only podcast dedicated strictly to barbershop harmony.
On the entire web.
No, we're not going to play any today. I had the, did I tell you? I had the copyright police call me.
Did you really? No. I didn't hear that.
No, I didn't have them call me. I took the manual out and, you know.
We looked through it, yeah.
Anyway.
Things are changing copyright-wise, but guess what? You have to pay money to do copyrights or to play music.
Yeah, well, so, you know.
Ain't going to happen.
That ain't going to happen.
So
let's get on to it. Let's get going on stuff.
Cool.
This is good.
Yeah,
I'm excited. Oh,
we are.
Do you feel that?
Forecast number six.
The Phoenix.
I believe.
You know, and this one is great. I think we could call this number six, The Phoenix.
Why do you call it The Phoenix?
Because of this first interview.
Oh, well, okay.
Out of the ashes.
That's true.
Are you with me on this?
We raise this thing out of the ashes, or we just do the first interview. One of the two.
Well, the first interview, and I think if anyone is familiar with Barbershop Harmony Society and has been involved in any way, shape, or form over the last,
Number of years?
Number of years, you'll know who Ev now is.
Yes.
And of course, Ev talks that. I don't know. How much did you edit this thing?
You know, I didn't edit a lot of it. We told him we were going to cut it down to, 15 minutes and didn't. Just because there was a lot of good stuff. And
there's not enough razor blades in the world to cut that tape down. But anyway.
But we did chop it up in a way that we're going to interrupt as we switch from one section or one subject to another. And
think?
Maybe back again.
Think?
Who knows? So,
you think so?
Enjoy our first interview of the day, the podcast interview with Ev Now.
It's the Forecast. It's the Forecast. You will listen to the Barbershop Forecast. The Forecast.
Well, here we are with, someone just very cool, don't you think, Alan? Alan?
It is very cool, and you went away there for a moment, but it doesn't matter.
I feel fine. I don't know if you went away, but... Hey, we're joined today with Ev Now. Ev, say hi.
Hi.
That's nice. And that's all the time we have today, so...
And that'll wrap it up.
So, Ev, tell us what you're doing.
I am a director of Major Gifts for Harmony Foundation here in Chicago, Illinois. And the foundation is the major philanthropic arm of the Barbershop Harmony Society.
So does that mean you're giving away lots of stuff and major stuff?
Well, eventually we're giving away lots of stuff, but it's going to be slightly different from what most members would tend to think. In the past, the foundation has historically been that part of the society that used to take care of, quote, charity, unquote. And for the better part of 40 years, that charity was the Institute of Logopedics, and which later became known as HeartSpring. we had developed a slogan of "We Sing That They Shall Speak," complete with theme song and all of that. And as the money was collected at the chapter levels, it was sent to Kenosha. Kenosha then turned it over to the foundation. The foundation served as the conduit between the society and the Institute of Logopedics itself. And we began to see lots of photos and heart-wrenching stories of young people that were fighting through speech afflictions or communications disorders of one kind or another, and it really made the guys feel good, and the motto, "We sing that they shall speak," was one that was very powerful. Well, as time moved forward, fewer and fewer actual patients were being housed in the unit that we originally thought we were funding. At the close of it, and I don't have this exact figure, but bear with me, we had about 13 or so students that were actually being housed in this residential facility in Wichita, Kansas. And yet the money that was being raised was no longer being used so much for the treatment of their particular afflictions as it was for the development of the institute itself, then known as HeartSpring, which was now into treating stroke victims, young adults, and so on. So their focus essentially changed. Our relationship definitely changed. And it became very apparent that the society needed a philanthropic arm that would help support the very organization itself. And that's what we did. And then for a few years, the Harmony Foundation was primarily responsible for raising money on one hand and supplying grants to local organizations on the other hand that would then go out and fund things like youth harmony festivals and these little concerts and so forth that were taking place all over the country. Well, that didn't last very long either, simply because it became very apparent that while we were indeed supporting the basic issues of what the society stood for, we weren't really supporting the society itself. We were trying to become, at the same time, an organization that was raising money and granting money, and it was very difficult to do since we didn't have a very strong base from which to begin. So the foundation has now developed a philosophy in its simplest form that says, look, we're the philanthropic arm of the society charged with raising money for the society itself. We're looking to put the money back at the grassroots level so that the average member can say, hey, that's where my donation went, that's where the grants that the foundation has raised is going, and I'm getting direct benefit from the money that's going in here. To wit,
can you give us an example or two of where you've
been
buying?
Just going right there, absolutely. The foundation currently has three major areas that we can point to in the last few years with a great deal of pride. The first one is the fact that we support the scholarships for Directors College for up to 100 directors conjointly with the society. That means that one out of every chapters each year has its director that's trained and comes back to them a better musical person through money that went into Harmony Foundation. To tell you how successful that part has been, this year we had a waiting list of 40 guys and 40 men and women who were not able to get money from the foundation because the 100 were taken. The second arm is the individual scholarships that we supply to people going to Harmony College. You've heard of the Lou Perry Scholarship, which is for the budding arrangers and so forth. That's managed and taken care of by Harmony Foundation, as is the Larry Ager Scholarship, which supplies at least one quartet. And I think on one occasion we've had as many as two quartets go to Harmony College on those funds exclusively. So direct benefit to the member via the foundation itself. Lastly, we're very much involved with the youth camps and the various youth festivals that are taking place across the United States and Canada. Last year, the foundation spent more than $196,000 to directly affect the education of 940 students. Well, this year, we're expecting that there's going to be somewhere in the vicinity of 5,000 students, and yet we don't have an awful lot of money to support all of those. So, again, the need outstrips the available funds to handle these things. Now, what are we doing to try to keep up with supplying that steady stream of cash to fund these various projects and other projects which the society will come up with. It's very simply this. A few years ago, they started an endowment program. The endowment program has been very, very successful in raising lots of promissory kinds of contributions, bequests and wills, life insurance beneficiaries. And that's great, and we're approaching $14 million in that endowment right now. And that's the good news, and the bad news is a lot of guys have got to die before we can spend it.
I was going to say, isn't that going to impact membership as well, won't it? I mean, you got a CAC to get the money, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, it won't impact it the way we'd like to.
Yeah.
But the members who are involved in giving to the endowment through the Founders Club and other memorial and tributary kinds of gifts have been very, very generous, and we're continuing to see the willingness on their part to do this. But these are long-range things that don't have an immediate payback.
Sure.
The kinds of projects we're looking to fund have an immediate need for cash, and consequently, the foundation in the last 2 years has developed some annual giving programs, one of which is called the President's Council. To become a member of the President's Council requires that a man or a woman contribute $1,000 a year minimum, and they can contribute more than that because there are various levels. That money comes into the foundation and is immediately available for application to the various programs. This is a good growing kind of program and does supply some perks for those who would make those kinds of gifts. Most
they
notable
got better
of the perks
are, at International, didn't they get the better seats down up front?
There you go. The down front seating at International is certainly something not to be sneezed at, especially for those who like to go to the convention every single year. In addition, at International, you have your own check-in line so that you're not standing there for half an hour or so. You just step up to the window, get your packet, and off you go. We have a reception for the President's Club's members every year, and the last 2 years that it's been in existence, that has been just before the AIC show on Thursday night. So they come in, they get some food and some adult libations, have a chance. Well, the adult libations this year at Salt Lake City was iced tea, I think.
I was going to say Diet Coke.
In fact, it wasn't even iced tea because that has caffeine. I think it was lemonade or something.
Yeah, nice.
But it was they were wonderful people. But, you know, most of our guys came in going, oh, this is cute. And, you know, roast beef sandwich and a glass of lemonade. How charming. but it was fun. It was a great program.
Well, tell us, this last year through this form of donation, how much 2000 and 2004, what did you guys, what were you able to bring in for immediate use and dispersal?
$156,000.
$156,000. Wow.
Right. And the goal is much higher than that. That's one of the areas that I'm working with members and so forth, and making them aware of the possibilities, helping them reconnect with some of their barbershop experiences, and making it possible for them to find a way to be comfortably into this program and see their use of their money immediately rather than not being able to see it once they pass away.
Well, now the founder or the portion, see, in my, I'm not actually signed up with the society, but in my will, I've got a set dollar amount that I'm donating. So most of it goes to my wife and my son, but you know, there's like, I don't know, $20 or so that's going to the society. How does someone get involved in that? That portion, that $14 million, make that bigger?
Well, at the Founders Club, let me just finish with the President's Council first because there's a couple things that need to be mentioned there. The President's Council also provides a lounge for its members at the contest site. This year at Salt Lake City, they could go up in the back of the seating area, and it was a glassed-in room where they could actually see the stage, sit there, have a sandwich. The webcast was being piped into the room. The contest itself, the audio was being piped into the room, and meet with their friends and kind of relax rather than, you know, having to sit there and be quiet. So we had a lot of good things that went on for the President's Council members. Now back to your question: how does someone get involved with the Founders Club? Easy. Call me, or wait till I run into you somewhere along the line and begin to explain what you can do. And it's a very It's a very easy way to become involved. We'll accept immediate gifts of cash. We deal with charitable remainder trusts. We have our staff of folks here that can work with a member or a non-member, either one, at a level that's going to be comfortable for them. I'm not interested in seeing anybody come in and sit down and see how much money I can get out of them. I'm more interested in seeing somebody come in and say, I'd like to help the foundation. How can I do that?
Right.
Work with him to develop some strategies that make sense, that are not going to put him in a position where he's making a sacrificial offering, but rather he's making an offering that's going to make him feel good and suit his ability to pay as well as his ability to be a good, solid society member. So there's no arm twisting. There's no you ought to do this or all your friends are doing this. None of that. We're just looking for ways to say, hey, here's something you can do. Here's a way you can leave a legacy, and here's a way that you can do a lot of things that will be good for the society and good for yourself. Sometimes very, very tax beneficial to the member himself.
Now, are you coming out to Sacramento for the midwinter?
I'll be at the midwinter. Yes, I will.
All right. And so I'll talk to you about that then when you get out here.
That'd be great. And we have there's so many things going on right now. We introduced a new program this year called the Ambassadors of Song.
Mm-hmm.
The Ambassadors of Song is very similar to the President's Club in that a member can contribute on a regular basis. It could be monthly, it could be quarterly, it could be annually. It can be taken from his credit card, it can be drafted from his bank account. But let's say for $10 a month, a guy can make a contribution to the society and get a tax credit at the end of the year. But along with this program, we also rolled out a new feature for both the President's Council and the Ambassadors of Song, which says that anybody making a gift to Harmony Foundation through those two programs are able to designate up to 30% of the gift to go to his own chapter or his own district. This means a guy can make a gift of $1,000 for the President's Club and say, okay, $300 of that is going to go to my own chapter, and still get a tax credit at the end of the year for the full $1,000. The $300 that goes to his chapter are unrestricted funds. The chapter may use that money for anything they want. And it comes in a form of cash. It doesn't go out as a credit for Harmony Marketplace or anything like that. It's actual cash that's distributed to the chapters for their use. So you take a chapter of 50 guys and say that each guy in the chapter, well, let's say that 50% of the 50 guys, 25 guys, are going to donate $100 apiece per year and designate $30 of that to go back to his own chapter. There's $750 worth of found money for the chapter while the member is still getting a tax credit where he couldn't get it before.
That's
a very powerful tool for us.
Now, is that listed on the web? I mean, are there places? Because I think the guys are getting a lot more savvy about it. Computers.
I'll tell you what, there's so many things that we need to get caught up on, and there's so many things happening so quickly, not the least of which is my education in this particular field. I've only been on board since June 16th of this year, and it was 11 months after I was terminated from the society last year. I was back working for the foundation. So that qualifies me for this year's Lazarus Award.
I was going to say.
So I just trying to get caught up on a lot of the stuff. My good fortune in knowing so many people in the society and being known by so many people in the society played a large part in my getting this job. We've been doing a lot of telephoning of members of the Founders Club, et cetera, to find out, you know, how you doing? What's going on? And trying to maintain the relationship.
Can we expect a donation soon?
What's that?
I said, how are you doing? Can we expect a donation soon? Are you feeling good?
No.
Numbness in the legs?
You'll never hear me do that.
Okay.
That's not part of it.
Oh, okay.
What I want to do is allow people to understand exactly what the foundation is, how the foundation can work to their betterment by supporting the society. If we develop another revenue stream for the society the way we can, the outside granting organizations are going to look at us far more favorably than they currently do. let's say XYZ Corporation has a foundation, and that foundation is looking to donate money to various tax-exempt 501c3 organizations like ours. What separates us from the American Cancer Society? Well, the American Cancer Society can go out there and make a very strong case for the fact that they save lives and they change lives. Mm-hmm. The Barbershop Harmony Society has got to find a way to make a case similar to that where it doesn't come across as though we're asking other people to fund our hobby.
Right. Well,
that's the major problem facing us.
And can't we spin it as, you know, a life enrichment and utilize those numbers? I mean, Sacramento, of course, things that or courses in this area, I'm sure, are in nursing homes or different places, high schools.
Oh, there's so many things
you know,
that we do to enhance life at a local level.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons our organization is so old is that singing is a life extending activity.
Yeah.
It's been medically proven that certain endorphins are released when a man sings, which promote a healthier person, and of course a healthier person lives longer. We also know
those
that,
darn Founders Clubs go down. See, that's the problem with the Founders Club. We're singing, we keep healthy, and you know we don't get the funds on the back.
Well, we do have random drive-by singings that take people out.
Excellent.
And you know, you never know when the car will pull up in front of you and somebody will blow a B flat and you'll suddenly feel compelled to donate to the foundation.
That's right.
It's the forecast, the Barbershop Forecast. You're listening to it now.
My goodness, that was compelling.
Was it?
Don't you agree? I think so. He's an interesting cat.
He's a great guy. We had a lot of fun
and
talking.
And you know what?
Him,
he's also a drummer.
What's that? That's true. And he lives in he used to live in Wisconsin. I guess now he's in Illinois, so you know, doesn't count anymore for you from
Illinois.
Wisconsin. I didn't say Illinois.
Yeah, he was in Kenosha, but you know he's a New Yorker. Didn't he grow up on Long Island or
I don't have a clue. I mean, you're the one that talked to him more than I do. Not this time, but I mean, in general, you're the one that talks to him more than
that's
I
right.
Do,
you so. Know, Ev and I are we're tight. We're
Well, and you know what? I got to say, I probably made a loud clunk on the microphone. I got to say that, you know, Harmony Foundation and monetary stuff is not something we normally think about relating to barbershop, but I'm glad that Ev is back in the fold, shall we say. And
it's nice to have that energy there.
Right.
But doing something that
really matters, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, if you're going to have a snake oil salesman, I mean, a guy swindling money, I mean, if you're going to have somebody that's looking to help keep the society afloat, why not get someone that's charismatic like Ev now?
There you go.
Hey, you know what? That glass of wine's gone through me, I think. I think I need to go to the bathroom. You want to hit the button?
We could do something with the bathroom here, but you know what?
I'm going to go over to Raymond Davis's bathroom.
Yeah, we have to go to Raymond's.
Yeah, let's go to Raymond's.
So Raymond's bathroom, here we come.
Hello, this is Raymond Davis, and today we're going to learn my tag to The Night Has a Thousand Eyes. And this was recorded in my bathroom. No, just kidding. Anyway, here we go. The lead goes like this. 'Cause the night has a thousand eyes. So the lead starts off with 'cause the night, and then the other parts come in, and the tenor goes like this. 'Cause the night eyes, thousand eyes. The baritone has a little duet with the lead, and the baritone part goes like this. 'Cause the night has a thousand eyes, thousand eyes, thousand eyes. The bass goes like this. 'Cause the night eyes, thousand eyes, thousand eyes. Put them all together, and it sounds like this. 'Cause the night,
'cause the night has a thousand eyes.
And what a wonderful tag. You know, I
liked it.
I got to tell you, it's a kick because we've sung with Raymond, you and I have sung with Raymond for how many years now? Just every time we get a chance, and he's always got these wonderful screaming tags.
I'm getting, I get pushed out of that deal.
You get
pushed. I get pushed. You know, it's like, well, not pushed out. That's a bad word. You know, because you're a district and you find yourself at 4 o'clock in the morning at headquarters or another hotel and... you know, it's so great when you have all these guys come all over the place from, you know, all these different quartets that have maybe done really well. But, yeah, you know, so
well,
we let the big boys sing.
Well, you know, like from your standpoint, I can understand it since you are a tenor. And Raymond's a tenor, so well, you lose on some of those. Hey, you know what?
Yeah, we didn't talk about. Hey, Raymond, come and sing bass here, buddy. Let's do this.
That's going to happen. One of the things we didn't talk about so far is... our statistics for the month and for so far and things like that. This month so far, we've only gone out to 39 countries.
What?
That's only 39.
That's because the UK is PO'd.
I know. Somebody really just doesn't like us. Actually, the UK is like number 5 or 6 on our list still. So that's fine.
Oh, bravo.
They're doing very well.
Fabulous.
Actually, they're doing better
than someone, can I do a little quick plug here?
Sure.
A little quick plug?
Go for it.
Okay, cool. Hey, if anyone sees Craig, could you have him give me an email? Because I want to get him on.
Yeah,
you
know, I would love to talk to Craig because he did a great tag.
Craig.
Oh, by the way,
email
his tag
me.
Is...
You're on Forecast. Now this is the show that you know you can hear to give cheer. Listen to Forecast.
See? Isn't that a great tag?
Good
tag.
I like it.
So
we need to get someone else to sing it, though.
Well, we could do that, but then we'd have to find some other brothers.
No, take that off. I love the Coretto brothers.
There you go.
But anyways, 39 countries.
One of them is Niue, N-I-U-E, and I've never heard of that country before, but it is one of the countries, supposedly. And
so who's slacking? Who's slacking off? Deutschland still hanging tough? Got my tag coming. My tag is done. My German tag is done.
Deutschland is in there. It's somewhere near the top 10 or so. The Netherlands actually beat it, though. So did Australia.
Huh?
However...
Oh, those little ruggers from down under.
Iceland is at the bottom. Sorry. Iceland, we have the fewest number of.
We got anyone in TV?
You know what? We don't. That just shows we haven't looked at our own website recently, so...
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, when you go in.
Hey, let's get back to. Oh, wait, can we get back to Ev, or is that.
Sure, yeah, why don't we go back and talk to Ev a little bit more here?
You're a lucky person because you're listening to the Forecast.
Hey, Ev, talk to us about. Talk to us about the Youth Harmony portion and the Youth Harmony camps. I know the Far Western District is gearing up in September. They'll have probably 130 students up in Pollock Pines, up in the mountains and the Sierras.
Yeah, and you need to know, Ev, that both Eric and I are very involved in that. Eric's quartet, it's one of the ones that's going to be there as a teaching quartet, and I'm going to be there as a counselor or whatever it is. So.
Counselor.
The Far Western District for a number of years has been one of the leaders in the youth camp concept, whether it's called Harmony Explosion or whatever else. Individual chapters like the Buckeye Columbus chapter in Ohio at their Buckeye Invitational each year has a huge school. Mm-hmm. I know that down in Texas, at Denton, Texas each year, the Southwestern District has about 150 to 200 boys that they get together along with their music educators. It's been a hugely successful program across the society. Some chapters, like Buckeye Columbus, are doing it on their own. Some districts, like Far Western and Southwestern, are doing it on their own. Others are doing it conjointly with the society staff, and in particular Rick Spencer, and it's working with various degrees of success depending upon, you know, how many people they contact, what kind of rapport they've developed with the music educators in their particular area, and so forth. What we do know, and what we can point to with a great deal of pride, is that invariably when the kids go through the experience, they come out with a new appreciation for what barbershop harmony is. The teachers are very enthused about what the society provides, not only to the kids, but to them as a new learning tool. Ear training is something that they've never seen in operation before the way we do. The ease with which the guys pick it up and sing it, the willingness for the young guys to learn to sing the songs because they're fairly easy by comparison to some other
sure.
more difficult.
We're not throwing out David Wright charts.
No, and and let's face it. I mean, when guys sings, girls come around, and,
yeah.
and you know, why aren't we selling this as being a big deal?
Yeah, we should. I know. Actually, that was one of the things, one of the comments that we heard at one of the camps that Eric and I were both at. One of the kids said it was great to be able to go there and not feel like he was weird because he was singing. And not only that, when he walked out of there, he was already in a quartet by the end of the camp, and going, he was thinking that was going to get him girls. And I thought, you know, that's a good way to learn that.
Nothing wrong with that, man. It sure is better than a lot of other things I could think of the kids doing.
Absolutely.
You know, sorry, I just ran out to see what music we're doing. We were doing Caroline America, the beautiful overlay. This is a different one. I know we're doing Silhouettes. I mean, we're doing some fun music. Sorry, I left the room, so I don't know what you guys are talking about, but go ahead.
That's okay.
We're talking about you, but that's okay.
Well, you know.
We're actually talking about our past harmony camps that we've gone to, Eric.
Oh, they're awesome.
One of the things that the Harmony Explosion camps and the youth festivals and so forth are proving true is something that we learned in the membership arena several years ago. For many years, the society tried to forge an alliance with MENC, the Music Educators
sure.
National Conference. And for many years, we were treated very, very politely, but sort of like a distant cousin. You're cute. You have a nice program, but we never quite made the connection with the 65,000 plus members that they had in a way that we wanted to. Well, one day, Tim Hanrahan, past society president, and at the time, in the early 90s, chairman of the Membership Development Committee, was meeting with the MENC leaders in Washington, D.C., and as the meeting was going on around the table, the executive director of MENC picked up one of the society brochures, happened to be thumbing through it, and he came to the Code of Ethics, and he looked at that thing, and he interrupted the meeting. He said, you know, you guys are trying to sell your organization the wrong way. We've got a lot of music. We've got a lot of opportunities. We've got a lot of choices. What we don't have in our public schools and in our teaching cadre is positive male role models. And you guys got 30-plus thousand of them sitting in your organization with this code of ethics backing them up. Now, with that in mind, we changed our focus and developed a very strong relationship with MENC. And today, when the Harmony Explosion camps are being run throughout the United States and Canada, people are coming in and seeing for themselves exactly the kind of role models we can provide. And kids are being able to see the likes of the Vocal Majority and the Masters of Harmony, et cetera, stand up on the risers. And it's not a silly thing to do. It's not a girly thing to do. It's
sure.
a very manly thing to do.
Well, and in Far Western District, we have courses like Westminster, which is primarily made up of young guys, high school
right.
and college age groups. And they compete at international. I mean, they're a very quality course.
Yeah, and there are others that not quite as young as Westminster, but younger by comparative standards that make it very well, and they're making it on the idea that once the kids are exposed to it, they hang around. You know, I want to put to bed, if I could, a myth that's been around the society for a long time that, you know, kids will come into the society when they're high school students, and then they disappear. And
mm-hmm.
somehow they find their way back in 15 or 20 years. And we've had some very heated debates about this in various sections of the staff, as well as committees, as well as out in the district with various district boards. I did a study of the semifinalist quartets one year. Now, of the semifinalist quartets at International, there are 80 men. And I asked every single one of those guys, how old were you when you joined the society? And 72 of the 80 of them joined before they were 21. Another question I asked was, how many of you had a break in service? And 67 of the 72, once they joined, they never left. The kids learn early on that this is a lifestyle. You take a look at Vocal Spectrum. You take a look at OC Times, sure, and some of those other quartets that are aging very, very young and doing very, very well. And you tell me, as long as those guys aren't receiving the fulfillment that they're currently getting, that they're going to break away and do something else. They will make this part of their life, and they will become very much a dedicated member. To that end, getting back to the foundation for just a moment, when we begin to become very effective in getting our members to see what we're doing with the money and to supply that kind of a streaming so that the younger guys are coming in, staying in, and becoming leaders of the society in ways that make sense, I think we're going to have an even stronger case to make internally, and once the internal case is made, the external case will fall.
Well, you kind of opened a can of worms when you said membership. How do you like the You Can Sing Too program with funding being routed to not only choruses and but also membership to bring numbers up? I mean, how does that sit with you personally?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, the You Can Sing
Too. How do you feel about paying individual members for getting other members? the cash rewards thing. I guess is when Eric suddenly changed the subject on you, but it was
he said membership. It's fair game.
I know.
You're opening up a line of conversation here that puts me in a somewhat tentative position as the man who used to sit in that seat and was one of the designers of Operation Harold Hill to compare and contrast a program which I had nothing to do with in its inception or its implementation. I think the Sing Too program is designed with a far more forward-reaching intent than anything we've ever done. If you're talking about the rewards that are going to the members for recruiting people, if that's what it's going to take to get people off the dime to do something, then that's what it's going to take. I've recruited personally 78 men. I have 78 man of notes.
Alan's got one.
What's that?
Alan has one.
And let me tell you something. Alan is in the vast minority of the entire society, because when I was there, we did a study, and we showed that about 46% of the entire society had recruited at least one other member, meaning 54% had never recruited anybody.
Wow.
And we did the math. Given our current retention rate of roughly 88%, and saying that that's going to hold true no matter what, and it's actually rising as we go into time, we have a tremendous retention rate. That's not the problem. The problem is we're not bringing in members fast enough to fill up the natural voids created by death, by disinterest, by those who are sampling the hobby and finding it not to their liking. If each man in the society were to recruit one new member once every 6 years, we would have a continual growth rate of 1.5%. Do the math, you'll find I'm right.
No, absolutely.
Well, and, you know, that starts broaching a little different subject than, you know, talking about barbershop. And we've had people talk and say, well, you know, we're going to update the music or we're going to change it. And we had Sean Devine on. We talked to Sean not that long ago about song selection and, you know, trying to keep it fresher for maybe that younger audience. Is it the goal change?
Well,
Sean
Devine's quartet went out and did Save the Last Dance for Me.
Which
and,
is truly...
Put Your Head on My Shoulder.
Keep It Barbershop.
Sorry, that happens once in a while.
Well, listen, I mean, his Sean Devine and his quartet doing Put Your Head on My Shoulder and Save the Last Dance for Me. And sitting in the judging arena, as I was at International, one of the 15 that judged that contest, I sat there and watched that, and a thought went through my mind saying, oh, this will get some attention. And then I kept thinking back, people are going to say these are modern songs. Hey, I got a clue for you. those two songs were popular when I was 17, and I was 17,
right. They're
40 years ago.
Yeah.
So if that's the best we can do to attract new kids because it's, quote, a new song,
right.
Let's not forget that the Beatles were out of business for 20 years before half of today's kids were born. This is a red herring of the first order.
Oh, totally
agree.
I'm
glad to bring fish to the market.
What?
I said I'm glad to bring fish to the market.
No, that's fine. I mean, you know, it's not the music that you sing per se that's going to define whether you're successful or not. It's the way that the music is introduced and presented to the people that you want to become part of us.
Sure.
I spent 16 years visiting high schools and various kinds of organizations. I would go in and I would teach the simplest of tags and easy to learn songs to high school kids and get thunderous applause and reaction. Why? Because they understood and recognized the song? Hell no. It was because it was something that was easy, it was fun, and they could do it with a minimal amount of fuss.
Right.
They didn't have to spend $40 million worth of equipment. They had everything they needed right in their own throat. And all they needed was somebody with the time, the talent, and the patience to show them how to do it. And most of them could do it well within a very, very short amount of time.
Well, and you know, I don't know what it's like in the Midwest, but in California, it is very pockety on who has music programs and how good of a music program they put out. I mean, there's a gal up in Grass Valley who has an incredible vocal music program. Is it Cherry Hayes? Is that right, Alan?
Yeah, exactly. Phenomenal. She's got a great music program, loves Barbershop.
Yeah.
That's one that also works with Placerville, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Does she work with the Placerville chapter?
I think. Yeah, I'm not sure.
She works with Sacramento. She's kind of well known around the entire Northern California area.
But the Cherry point is that there is so much less music than even when I graduated in 1990, and we still had a music program, but it wasn't as strong. Now today, 15 years later, there isn't music programs, and I can't believe we're not making more of an impact in that arena and getting these kids when they're younger and keeping them in. You know, I didn't have a problem staying at Barbershop when I was in high school. I had a problem staying in Barbershop managing my time when, you know, I'm a regional director with a 3-year-old and a wife, and that's harder for me to hang on to. I will always sing Barbershop. But man, we got to hook these kids and get them in now. If we can keep these 120 kids that we're bringing in for our youth camp, and that's just Northern California, man, there's a new chorus right there, 120 kids. Let's sign them up. Let's do a new chorus.
And don't forget, now you start off with, I don't know how it is in Midwest, but here in California, and as I recall, Proposition 13, which decimated the California public school music programs, mm-hmm. along with Proposition 2.5 in Massachusetts, which did roughly the same thing. At one point in the city of Chicago, kids who wanted to go out and play football or do anything like that that had extracurricular activities had to buy their equipment because of the tax cuts that went on. There was a tremendous knee-jerk reaction to funding of things that were making the total person out of a student.
Right.
And the society did step up and did try to provide things like advocacy for the school systems with appearances at school board meetings and voter registrations and all the stuff that was going to help. We lost. But we did not lose when the society was able to take key volunteers as well as trained staff and put them into the classrooms on a regular basis. I wish I had the number right here with me to tell you how many high school students that the staff gets to see each year, and it is significant, and they do a great job, and they get the kids fired up, and they get the teachers enthused about it too. But it's a drop in the bucket compared to what is out there that is starving for music of any kind. We got success stories by the thousands. Now we miss another boat, and I step up on the pulpit here a little bit. But we miss another boat with the college-age students, and I have some very strong opinions about our college music programs and why they're not working the way I think they ought to.
Mm-hmm.
We have a college quartet contest each year, which is dependent upon the districts. Okay, now if a guy goes to the Ohio State University and sings in a barbershop quartet, does the Johnny Appleseed district mean anything to him? I don't think so. But if you had a Big Ten barbershop quartet contest and went to Michigan and said, you know, they got two quartets down in The Ohio State University, I bet you Michigan would work real hard to come up with three just to be better than Ohio State. We need to incorporate something to do with the natural rivalries built into the college system as it exists, not try to fit non-members into a structure that they don't understand with our own districts. That's
so
number
how do
one.
We, that's, so the that's, question is then, how do we go about doing something like this? Because it's a great comment and a great idea, but you know, we've got to get people in there that know what's going on and get it to the right people so that there becomes a contest. And we already have the contest.
You've got it already in place. You've got all those quartets that have already gone through the system as it exists. Just change it around a little bit and make the qualification process for international championships and so forth far easier. If you go to the chancellors and the presidents and the deans of students of the various universities across the United States, aside from Title IX issues, you'll find that they're going to meet with a great deal of receptivity for the Barbershop Harmony Society. I sat down along with John Marshall, who was then president of the Central States District and currently a society board member. He and I sat down with the chancellor of the University of Iowa, who asked us if we could somehow find a way to use Barbershop Harmony to replace their old Greek sing that the fraternities used to do. We said, we can structure this any way you want. And he was an African-American who was really tuned into what we were trying to say. And finally, I said, well, you seem very interested in this, and I don't fully understand why. He said, Mr. Nile, let me tell you something. He says, every week I look at finding ways to keep my students away from drinking for 1 hour. If this will do it, I'm all for it. Now, while his motivation wasn't exactly what we had in mind for the program, it was a motivation, and it was a solution to a problem for him that allowed us entry into his program. And I'm telling you that I'll bet there are many programs that have the same thing. The other thing that
I'm wondering if what you're saying is we could restructure the contest so that instead of focusing on districts, we focus strictly on presenting the kids as from this college versus from that college. Is that what you're kind of aiming for?
I fully believe that if the natural collegiate rivalries are put into play in this college quartet contest, we would have more college quartets seeking to win something that means something to them, rather than seeking to fit into an organization. We literally somehow force fit these guys into our organizational structure, whether we know it or not.
Of course we do.
And I wonder how effective that really is in terms of getting the message out. We get a lot of guys that join. Let's not lose sight of that fact. And we get a lot of guys who are very much involved in the art form. You only got to look back a few years and realize that Four Voices won an international championship short term after they had become the college quartet champions.
Sure.
We've had Reprise from the Rocky Mountain District show up as a top 20 quartet. We have Vocal Spectrum from Central States District coming in as a top 10 quartet this year, and if they'd all been healthy, they may have done a little better.
Yeah.
But the program has definitely grown by leaps and bounds, but it's still not producing the number of quartets and the number of participants I think we would get if we made it more universally appealing through the natural conference relationships that the colleges have.
Right.
Can you imagine?
That makes a lot of sense.
Can you imagine a Pacific 10 barbershop quartet contest with USC and UCLA and Cal, Berkeley, and all of those universities having quartets competing for the Pac-10 championship? That would be a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the Big Ten championship, and you could do a Super Bowl of barbershop or whatever it is. Yeah,
and, Super Bowl.
I'm going to get this other point out. If it kills me, I'm going to get it out.
Go for it.
We need to also develop we continually go after the music departments and the students who are music majors in the universities as being the primary focus of what the Young Men in Harmony and the College Quartet Contest is all about. I think we're missing the boat here.
I agree.
Those guys have existing programs in which we're competing for space and time. What happened to the kid that went to high school that liked to sing, that goes on to college to study engineering, business, or liberal arts and has no music program available to him, we could become the most natural life net for those kinds of students, pick them up as an interim membership. They graduate from college. Kids in Berkeley, let's say, and he wants to move on and go work in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's got a built-in number where he can just plug into the society and say, hey, I love to sing barbershop. I did it all the way through college. It's almost like a fraternity. Where can I go in Albuquerque?
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, that's,
we're a relocation system for him.
That's absolutely mm-hmm. brilliant. It's just like intercollegiate sports, too. I mean, you've got those running through. They're clubs, for crying out loud.
Exactly.
I mean, you can do it on horses. You can do it with physics. Why can't you do it in barbershop? I think that'd be fantastic.
Night and day.
Night and day.
So that's a good time. Good times. You know, I love listening to Ev. It's wait, time for wine.
You're drinking wine here? It's what? 11.
I'm drinking wine. I've become a Californian.
11. Oh, it's almost like midnight now and you're
Dude,
drinking wine.
Come on.
I'll bet it's white wine too.
Oh God, no.
It's not white.
I have my standards. I started this evening with a Pinot Noir. A lovely, I don't know, wine to save my life. Talk to me about beer. I'm from Wisconsin.
It's a box, isn't it, Eric?
Hey, you know, what's that?
It was from a box, wasn't it?
Yeah. What's wrong with a box? Come on. You know, there are people that would say boxes are better because it doesn't allow air to go back in and do some spoilage. It was free. It's
you
not
know
like
what?
I'm
I got
slurping
you,
on Mad Dog.
I got to tell you, the box wine has got one thing really well going for it, and that it's like Kool-Aid. You can drink lots of it and not well, have it affect you. So that's good from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Hey, you know one of the things...
And you know, my friend...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. But,
you go ahead and interrupt.
Compelled.
Go ahead.
Oh, you know, my friend Bruce Sell now said, do you guys ever do this not at like in the middle of the night? And I said, "What? Why would we? How could we spend the day? I got done. I did those. I had three midterms this week.
Yep.
Three
I knew that.
Midterms.
This was a slamming week for
so
you.
So this is a good time to do this.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Good time. Good times. You know what we need?
What do we need? We need money, but
We need money. I'll be honest with you. We need money. What you need to do is when you're down, you know, and I know a couple of people go through and they do a great job of downloading this off our website.
Yep.
Through an RSS feed or not through iTunes.
Right. Although iTunes actually, is definitely the biggest hit for us too. People have signed up on that. Yeah.
Well, you know, I know people do go and visit our website because there's actually increasing numbers and God knows I haven't been there last month. So we know you're in there, and gosh, I just listened to the pledge drive, and they're all done, and they did it in 4 days, and blah blah blah. But it would be wonderful for us to be able to keep these podcasts coming to you commercial free, because yeah, I got to tell you, there are a lot of people who want to put commercials on this podcast.
There are, huh?
You know,
yeah, I know.
Yeah,
like Joe's what?
I don't know, Barbersol. Maybe they would. What's that?
So like Joe's Bowling Alley or someone? What?
Joe's Bowling Alley? No, you know, I think we should start marketing to some, you know, Sweet Adelines. You know, we could do some spots for all-in-ones because, you know, that's all I hear about Sweet Adelines and competition is complaining about that. So maybe we could find someone to sell those or...
There you go.
I'm
hey.
Not exactly sure what one is. But
what are we... do we have more Ev now or... I don't remember.
Ev now. Do we have more Ev now? That's funny. Alan made a funny. We do, but hey, take a listen to this. Now, if you're sitting at home with your CD, go ahead and listen to it in your CD tray, but zip on back and hit the donate now. And you know, PayPal doesn't have to freak you out, Gabe. You can go ahead and hit PayPal. It's okay.
PayPal is actually fine because, hey, you know, all it does is just, no, actually, you can use a credit card. And it is completely secure. They don't have to get into your bank like they used to or anything else like that. PayPal's pretty straightforward. Or
hey, Alan,
write us a check and mail it to us.
Hey, Alan.
But yeah.
How about Ev now?
Okay.
Forecast. Listen to the barbershop forecast.
I am dedicated to this organization far more than a lot of people can ever possibly believe. I thoroughly believe in everything we stand for and everything we're trying to do. I tend to be sometimes a little bit impatient, and I see things that are not taking place that I think we could do with a minimal amount of effort. I don't mean to criticize anybody, any place that's doing the best he can, but I think that we've allowed ourselves a certain amount of picking of the fruit without watering the tree for too long. We've had a lot of chapters form, and what's happened to our society is a natural decaying process that you can almost see happen if you've been around long enough. A guy gets together with a bunch of his friends at the age of 35, and they're so excited they form a chapter. And they got 35, 40 guys. They reach that critical mass, and they begin to move down the road. They stop looking around for other people like them and only take those that happen to be falling into their laps. They're coming looking for them. 20 years later, they wake up one day and realize that about 35-40% of the original group is gone. They're 20 years older, they don't sing as well, and they're still the same size or fewer than what they did when they formed. And now they're at the point where they can no longer be attractive to those 35-40-year-old guys, and we begin to see the slow death of a chapter due to, I can't drive at night.
Sure.
It's so sad to watch.
So what do you do with that? Do you lack of a better term, shoot the course and start a new course and get another group of 35-year-olds that want to do the same thing?
No. You start the education process now that membership development is not an event. It's a process. Hmm. And I think that's largely what's happening with the You Can Sing 2 program concept idea. While it's only geared for a couple of months or so to really be effective, the idea that it's being rolled out the same way Operation Harold Hill was in 1996, and the same way we've done some other things. When membership development becomes a process, when the membership coffers are funded properly and the programs are funded properly, we can make this work. The hit and miss aspect of barbershopping at times, depending where you are and you know, whether you're an urban chapter or a rural chapter and a competitive chapter versus a social chapter, et cetera, all these things begin to provide a whole bunch of different situations that need to be addressed on a regular basis. I have nothing against a chapter that wants to get together once a week and just sing the songs for the hell of it. They have no intention of going to contests. God bless them. But by the same token, those guys who do want to go to contests and do want to be aggressive in their marketing and so forth, we need to help them understand that they can't make their potential members jump through hoops when it's convenient for them.
Right.
They have to always be looking at what's convenient for the new guy coming through the door. And guess what? Things have changed in the last 20 years, and the new guys that are joining our society today are not dealing with the same paradigms that we dealt with when we joined. Today, time is the new currency. The cost of the society, that's the biggest red herring of them all. This is a cheap hobby to belong to. If you've got a problem with that, build a bridge and get over it. Because I'm telling you right now, this is inexpensive fun that you couldn't get anywhere else. The problem is, how do you fit in the time? And I can illustrate this with a quick story. We had a chapter I sang in. Went to the guys when we were running our annual show and said, okay, if each guy in the chapter sells 20 tickets, we can do that. And you know how that story goes.
Sure,
so they passed out the tickets to the guys to go sell. A brand new member, he'd been in the chapter for about 2 months, went over in the corner of the room, took out his checkbook and wrote a check for $400 and came back and handed it to the ticket chairman and says, here you go. He says, no, I don't want you to buy the tickets. I want you to sell them. He says, I don't have time to sell the damn tickets. It's easier for me to just buy them and give them away than it is to spend the time, go out and try to find people to buy them.
Yep.
And boy, that made an impression on me when they talk about what's the biggest problem we're facing right now. It's getting the guys' time. and filling it up with something worthwhile for him to do.
Yeah, selling tickets or doing the stuff like that is very tough. And then, but you're absolutely right. It's totally a time issue, and that's not like that. You know, the people who are really involved even have the ability to put the time in that you need on that. I'm sorry.
Even our contest system sometimes works against having as full of participation as we could have. For example, when you have division or spring prelims in rural agrarian areas, what are the guys doing in April and May? They're planting the damn fields. They're not going to get off the tractor and come to a contest. They don't have time. Mm-hmm. And the same works the other way around when you're in urban situations. And there are things that go on for an urban and suburban person that make it difficult at certain times of the year to do things. Why don't we have memberships which are seasonal? Work that in for the college guys so that they join from September to May.
Yep.
And that's all they pay dues for.
All that makes sense.
All of these opportunities lie ahead of us, and I'm sure are being looked at and discussed by others in the field. My time on the staff was very much involved in developing these kinds of ideas. My time now on the foundation is serving the same basic group of people, but in a slightly different way. We're now dependent upon the society to come up with the ideas and the projects, while we understand that the project will drive the money. You come up with the project, and the money will follow what you want. And that's where we're coming from, and that's what we're trying to do.
Well, we've kind of hit on this point a little bit with the time, and I hate to be the guy to say time, but I've got a physiology lab in an hour. In a different city.
Hey, you know what? What I was going to suggest is we are running out of time. And, Ev, why don't we give you like 2 minutes to be able to make a one last push or advertisement for Harmony Foundation?
Yeah, where can they call you?
Whatever you feel like saying there. And
Harmony Foundation
all that kind
can be reached
stuff.
At 800-876-7464. Sing. Same number that you would call to call the office. Ask for me personally. They'll put you over to me. We can find out what you have on your mind, how you want to be looked at, and we'll start talking about things like what kind of a legacy do you want to leave. Now, it's not going to be possible for everybody in the society to leave a gift of $5 million, but it is possible for everybody in the society to find a niche which is going to be comfortable for him and give him the self-satisfaction of knowing that he's helping to promote, keep alive, and to fund an organization which is really affecting lives in a way unlike any other organization in the world. We talk about being the best there is. We now have an opportunity to step up to the plate and provide others an example of just how well we can do that. The dues are one thing. The convention fees are something else. The money that's earned through sales at Marketplace, that's something else. But when a man willingly will reach into his pocket, make a commitment, and then live up to that, that's satisfaction, that's pride, and that's really ownership of the society. Your chance, man.
Amen,
go for
brother.
It.
Cool.
Right on.
Hey, yeah, thank you. Go ahead.
I was going to do the same thing. You do it, though, because... Do it. Go.
Just going to say thank you very, very much for spending the time with us, and hopefully you've got some time, because we got some other subjects we actually wanted to talk to you about that came up as we were talking along here.
We'd
love to spend some more time with you somewhere down the road and all that kind of neat stuff. So
it's been a real pleasure, and I appreciate being asked, and I certainly want anybody who wants to listen to know that you have no idea what a thrill it was for me to be asked to come to work for the foundation and be back with the greatest organization in the world. And boy, I tell you, this is really sweet.
Well, we're glad
we got to say we were both very pleased to hear that you were able to get a position that brings you back in among the spokespersons for the society and for what we do. It's a good thing all around from our standpoint.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Ev.
You're listening to the Barbershop Forecast.
Well, did you hear it? It was Ev now.
It was now.
Or Ev then.
Or
Ev then.
It was Ev then. That was it. It was Ev then.
Ev then. I don't know.
Hey, you know what? Ev's a great guy. And it was a lot of fun to sit there and spend the time talking to him. And that was like a while ago. And we are finally getting around to it.
Yeah. Hey, Ev, don't be mad. Don't be hating, as the youngins would say.
There
don't
you
be
go.
Hating.
Talk about the
youngins.
Hey,
you know what?
Oh, my goodness.
The youngins at Far Western District Westminster. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, that was an incredible chorus, an incredible performance to watch, and it was really cool to watch the evening show when the Masters of Harmony came out there and did their thing, followed by the winning chorus, which was a Westminster chorus, and just
Royce Ferguson was delivering? God.
Directing.
Did you know that Royce was directing?
Yeah, I did, actually. That wasn't a surprise to
me.
Did
you know that? Okay.
Yeah. What was cool to me is that the Westminster chorus had a cleaner, better singing sound to me than the Masters, which blew me away. The Masters was fuller, of course,
because
140 guys, but 45 guys singing that clean was incredible. I mean, obviously, I haven't heard Northern Lights for a long time since we were editing forecasts rather than listening to the chorus contest in Salt Lake City. But, you know, what can we say?
Yeah, and, you know, if you haven't had a chance to listen to Westminster, they are a young men's chorus that's out of the L.A. area. And, you know, it's interesting how that success breeds success kind of thing, because a lot of those guys came from Masters and singing Masters.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, but you know what?
Very, very different though, because they're all, you know, how old are they?
What the average age is? 30, 20, or 21 or something like that. The coolest thing though is they've got 45 guys on the risers. 18 of them have never sung Barbershop before this year, because they brought them into it. If you want to hear, if you want to hear it, they do have a place where you can actually hear some of their stuff. It's at myspace.com/Westminster Chorus. And it's pretty good stuff.
God, spell Westminster.
Westminster. Actually, just like it sounds, Westminster.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, I don't, because we'll do this at another thing.
Yep.
They didn't go overboard on the costumes.
Well, no, their costumes, they actually stated that what their costumes were is everybody wear black and bring it to this place, or to the previous rehearsal, so we can make sure it fits. And that was all they told the guys. Everybody wear black.
That's crazy.
Which was
awesome. You know what? We should do a little thing. You know what? As a matter of fact, podcast number 7, we're going to do a review of, let's do a review about attire. What does the modern barbershopper wear?
That would be a good thing.
I think it's important.
Especially
let's do that.
Especially since we just
got organizers. Far West, all these districts are coming through, and it's good. You know, my quartet competed at district, and we were very,
and you guys
pretty
did
happy.
Very well. Third place. That's very
good. We did
fourth
well.
Fourth place.
We felt good.
What were you?
Fourth place. Thank
seventh
you.
Seventh place. 27th.
Fourth place. But, you know, we're still, and I'm pretty sure we're going to stay in the top 100 for the year. And wouldn't it be, you know, when you compare the districts, wouldn't it be great if you could be in the top 100 maybe in Podcast Alley?
Oh, man. That would be awesome. You know what? It doesn't even take anything. All you got to do is go to our website and click on the Podcast Alley vote thing here, which is right in the main
page. Self-gratification.
Made it easy to get to.
I know. I should vote right now.
And hey, you know what? Everybody needs to understand you got to do this every month, because it changes.
What's our ranking this month?
I have no idea. I haven't even looked. Because I did it at the beginning.
I was really surprised with this, because I made a joke that we were between porn and porn, which, bizarrely enough, was honest to God truth. I thought we would get beat by, you know, some medieval cooking show, but actually I found out this medieval cooking show, and I don't remember the name of it. They do history through cooking or something.
Huh.
She does like 4,000 downloads.
Right.
But you know what? Episode.
But her rating is, I mean, she only gets like 100 votes, so... We get.
You know who I'm talking about?
No, I've seen the thing on her cooking show.
Baited him.
On the other hand, you got to know that stats, when people tell you how many downloads they get, that may or may not be true. Yeah. Because I went strictly by just the basic stats, when I said we have 1,200 downloads, we don't. I mean, we do have 1,200, but our stats look like we have about 6,000. But that's because it takes multiple.
So we have 1,200
to get the same. File.
Yeah, while we've dropped down in how many countries are checking us out, we've got more numbers coming in.
Yeah, no.
You know, as we were talking about Far Western District, and I know a lot of other districts have concluded, and I'm hoping that we get a couple reporters maybe want to get online and talk to us about what their district was like. That would be cool.
Sure, I'd love to talk to someone from Southwestern and someone from MAD. And
cool.
We'll get a couple.
Oh, surprise, Max Q won.
Yeah,
go figure.
But you know what else was happening the same weekend? the weekend right before Far Western District was something in regarding the other groups.
Oh, that's right.
And we have,
you know, and what's really funny is
the Phoenix thing actually comes up twice because, hey, well, Arizona at least.
That's right. Sweet Adeline's International was held the week before District, and it was great because we ran into some people. Funny who you run into these things. I think this was before the police were called at the headquarters hotel. You weren't with that whole thing. Did we talk about that?
No, we didn't because I...
Yeah, they called the Pasadena PD on a bunch of barbershoppers. But anyway...
Oh, my goodness, I was really?
The tag was night and day, by the way. Anyway... I'm not kidding. The Pasadena... Get Pasadena PD on the line. We're going to need some help. I'll give you a break. It's going to happen. We're going to do a key change on the penultimate.
In any case, but, so this
in
next
any case,
interview is with a couple of people that whose last name is familiar because they're related
Smith?
To a an international champion barbershopper from one standpoint, and then they're also related to a different way of an international champion barbershopper because there's chorus champions in the family now, too, multiple ways. And let's just go with the interview. And I'll
That's a lot
quiet.
Of gold for that family. It let's is, take a is. Listen to...
This next interview.
Do we tell them now or we
let them
figure it out?
Let them figure it out. It says in there.
Nah, take a listen.
So I'm out trolling for people, Alan, because yeah. we're at Far Western District. And
and this is called one of... I heard someone said it was that MAD was the mini international, and I would beg to differ.
Yeah, I would say
Far Western District is more of a mini international.
I would think so. So I was actually on my way to the bathroom when I was blinded by some gold. And pretty, you know, I mean, not like sequins Sweet Adeline's International, but it is Sweet Adeline's International Gold.
There you go.
So right. with us today is Gloria Gordon. Say hi.
Yeah, hi.
Who is sporting a lovely blue ribbon with a large gold medal on it.
Yes. Uh-huh. Which one sleeps with.
And Brian's with her as well, her husband. And, you know, just for people who don't know
right.
any of us. Oh, going into the tag. Hold on. They'll make it. I got a good feeling. Okay. So just so we understand it, there's gold in this family. This is something that's pretty... Your son kind of sings barbershop?
Yeah, kind of sings, yes. Yeah. Alan got his first gold medal with Masters in 1996, and then another one, I think, in 2000 or sometime around there. And then he got the big gotcha gold
gotcha
in...
Gold.
2004.
So, yep. This is these are the parents of Alan Gordon.
So you ever yell from the crowd, "That's my boy!"
Well, no? At least in my heart.
Okay. So, but now you've got gold here.
That's
tell us,
right.
Tell us about last weekend.
Last weekend was wonderful. This was Detroit, which had been moved from New Orleans, of course. In mm-hmm. 6 weeks, they managed to move the entire convention from New Orleans to Detroit. And
9,000 attendees.
9,000 attendees.
Amazing.
And
very
we
religious.
Worked and happened to get, well, we think we did well on Thursday at least. And then on Saturday we happened to get the good draw of 10th. Mm-hmm. And when we came off the stage and they announced the winners, lo and behold, we had won Scottsdale Chorus. And we
guys have a website?
Place. Yes, we do. I think it's scottsdalechorus.org. You can find it from the Sweet Adeline International website, though.
Or you can probably go to Google and type Scottsdale Chorus.
Yeah, go to Google and type in Scottsdale Chorus. And
cool.
What songs did you guys do second night?
The second day we did Make 'em Laugh, Lazy Day, Swanee, and... I Can't Run Away.
Which were
the two competition songs?
So Swanee and I Can't.
What was the best moment for you? Was it getting there? Was it, you know, Thursday, or was it the performance, or was it just?
Well,
the
announcement. Yeah.
Yeah, the announcement, of course, was wonderful, but the Saturday performance was fun. We liked all the songs in the package, and you know that's not mm-hmm. always the case, and. It felt like the 14 minutes went by in two.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had loads of fun on stage doing it. And then, of course, hearing the announcement was
sure.
pretty hard to top. And then afterwards, Harbor Lights, of course, were, as the outgoing champions, were doing their thing for us, and they had us up on a ramp and sang to us afterwards, sang tonight to us, and that was pretty special.
Very cool.
Brian, how about you? What was
you,
it
you were
for
on
you?
The audience, obviously,
yeah.
for this.
Yeah, pretty good viewing seat. Not bad listening, but there were probably better places to hear from. And the whole contest was much higher level. I haven't been to international for Sweet Adelines in about 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I saw the whole contest at a higher level. You know, things, and the choreography and the colors and all that kind of stuff was just so different from the rather drab men. You know? I mean, yeah, they do moves during ballets.
You mean we don't wear sequins and flowing gowns?
And you said that's wrong?
No, just different.
Have you seen the outfit for our quartet?
No.
Okay.
Maybe I keep
we'll
that
talk tonight.
We'll see. Okay.
But do you think, I mean, because we're in a roundabout way, this is a little bit of a Joe and Jane barbershopper kind of thing mm-hmm. here
right.
that we got going
right.
on. Mm-hmm. Do you think both worlds or, you know, just barbershopping in general, do you think the level's getting better? Because I thought men's international, I thought that was
I think it always gets better.
Yeah.
I don't think you can stop it from getting better because everybody's always getting better. That's how people win.
Yeah. I mean, I've been to all the men's internationals for quite a while, and I'm seeing improvement, but not the big leap I saw for the women. Of course, I skipped a couple of years, so if
sure.
I had gone to all of them, I may have seen that as incremental, too.
Sure.
And, of course, we were getting coached the entire time we were there. Dale Syverson and Aaron Howden and Tony DeRosa were our coaches.
Who?
And
Tony DeRosa. Who is he?
I think he knows Joe. Hey, Tony, did you get this? Would you have Joe call
Would you have
Eric?
Joe call me back?
Oh, he's the lead in the second place quartet for 2 years.
Yeah. No, I feel bad.
He's a great coach.
Yeah, I've been dogging Joe Conley every once in a while on the cell phone and dogging him on the podcast, but every time I call him, I called him during contest. I don't know what I was thinking. Anyway.
Well, of course, he was competing too, and Tony was coaching them too. Yes, yes.
Wow.
But we had coaches every day. We were rehearsing about 4 or 5 hours a day while we were there and having our coaches.
Now, how do you think that impacted your performance? I mean, how did the general membership take
it was,
4 hours of rehearsal then go on stage and pour your guts out for 14 minutes?
It was a little grueling. Now, Saturday, because we had the good draw with mm-hmm, Kent, mm-hmm. we got a little more time because mm-hmm. we had a rehearsal in the morning. Then we didn't have to perform until after 3 o'clock. So, so we got to actually eat a meal and take a nap and take our time putting on our makeup and everything. So that helped.
Fantastic. So what's going to happen tomorrow?
Brian.
Yeah.
We've got a men's chorus competition coming up here.
And
you're in one of the ones that's recognized as a potential winner of this.
We got a shot, yeah.
Spirit of Phoenix.
We've got just under 100 on stage. We're being coached mainly by Greg Line, who is flying in tonight. I'm not quite sure what he can do for us on contest day, but I'm sure he's going to try, and we're going to listen. I like the way the chorus is configured in that we have almost 50 basses and a 100-man chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes quite a rich sound.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how Dallas does it. That's how... Mm-hmm. Masters do it. I presume there are other choruses doing the same kind of thing. But it's nice to be in a chorus where you don't have to worry about what the other people are doing. Everybody around you is doing their thing, and it's right. Mm-hmm. In the past, I've been in choruses where you sometimes wondered. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's nothing you can worry about because you can't fix it, but it happens anyway.
Now, the Spirit of Phoenix is a joining of...
Well, it's a rejoining.
A rejoining of...
We're less than 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually closer to three now. When I moved to Phoenix, which is about 3 years ago, the Phoenicians went through quite a bit of political upheaval and director upheaval, et cetera, and basically told half of their members they weren't good enough to sing with them. So they cut their chorus size in half. Well, some of the other local barbershoppers just started a new chorus based mainly on those who hadn't passed the Phoenicians audition. And I joined that off the street, so I've never been a Phoenician. But we had in town two choruses of comparable size. They were both 45 or so on stage. And the first time we competed was at division. And it was the first time the Phoenicians had lost division in 27 years or something, you know, ungodly. Mm-hmm. So we were both eligible to go to district. And somebody finally came up with the idea. We have two groups of men, same goals, singing at comparable levels, why is it two groups? Mm-hmm. You know, so most of the things that had caused the politics, that had caused the original split, had gone away by then. Mm-hmm. So they rejoined, and we actually sang a year ago for the first time as a combined chorus and came in second, high enough to get a wild card posting to Salt Lake City, uh-huh, where we came in eighth.
Excellent.
Not bad for new chorus.
Not bad. Mm-hmm. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
So we're directed by Fraser Brown, who was directing the Phoenicians, and Russ Young, who was directing the Pride of Phoenix, which was the offshoot. Mm-hmm. They're co-directing now.
And they don't know each other or anything.
No,
no, of course not.
Called SRO.
Yeah,
or
yeah, right.
Like nothing like that.
Well, and Fraser's busy this weekend. He's got a quartet as well.
He's
right?
In Dazzle tonight. Yeah.
Now, Glory, is this your first gold?
Yes, mm-hmm. In 27 years.
First gold in 20. Was it worth the wait?
Yes. Yes.
Very cool.
I want
gold
one.
Is always
I
worth the wait.
Well, hey, thanks for spending just a couple minutes with us.
Sure. Yes.
Who knows? You may be heard in Greenland.
You never know. Happen. We've had 62 countries there, or typically every month,
really?
Download and
really?
Listen to the
Swaziland.
Podcast. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
A whole bunch of places.
We'd like to spread barbershop all over the world.
Wonderful. Yeah, I think we made the Brits a little PO'd, though.
Yeah, they haven't called us back yet.
Oh. Right. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
I love the Gordons.
I do, too. They're great people.
Yeah, they're
all three
see,
of them.
Isn't this cool? It's the whole family thing.
Jenny, too.
I don't know the fourth one, but it's such a wonderful family thing that we do, and how Ed Watson was talking about what a positive influence, you know, the Barbershop Harmony Society has on young men and
totally
and what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look out. I hate to keep doing this California thing, but I'm going to. Underage, the Region 12 Quartet, their current international young women in harmony, aren't they?
Yeah, I believe that's correct. They're the rising star champion or whatever it is. And, you know.
And you better watch them at Region 12 because they're
going to do well.
They're going to compete with the ladies this year. So that's awesome.
Cool. Well,
what a great family hobby we've got going on here.
Absolutely.
Hey, so you want to know about the Pasadena PD or should we just cap this thing off and leave it till next time?
Well, let's just cap this thing off and leave it till next time. We'll do some other interviews from Pasadena and maybe we can talk about the PD then.
Yeah, we've got funny who you run into at these events. Next, here's your little tease. While you were gone.
Yeah, I had to leave. You didn't. You said we're going to talk at 10 o'clock. I figured 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, 10:15. 10:15. Yeah.
And so you finally tell me 10:15 in the morning. And, hey, I'm already on the airplane at that point.
I know. But I did sit down and talk to Dr. Greg Lyon for a while. That was very cool.
Yep. And we talked to one of the gentlemen in the Far Western District that's in charge of chorus directors workshops intensives. I think there's like too many.
And we also talked to a guy.
And that was a good interview, and we'll share that with you. It's not just specific to Far Western District, but to everywhere, because it's a great thing that we do, or that the society does. And who else?
Hey, do we have anyone listening in Swaziland?
Not this time.
Darn. What I would like to do is, again, offer, I'm going to extend the olive branch across the pond, or across, what do they call the Pacific? It's not really a pond so much.
Well,
hey, doesn't matter. If you want to get an opportunity to talk about your district or in New Zealand, your affiliate, we would love to chat with you. Send us an email at hosts,
plural.
Is it like hostess?
Hosts.
H-O-S-T-S. H-O-S-T-S at 4-cast.tv.
Right.
And we'll see what we can do.
Absolutely.
So we do.
We'd love to talk to you. So
hey, you know what? I think we're going to be able to wrap this up. Thank you for spending the time with us. Stop on by forecast.tv and check out that donate tab.
Absolutely.
I think that would be a good place for you to check out.
Hey, this has been Alan LeVigeau
and Eric Brixen bringing you Forecast, the only podcast dedicated strictly to barbershop harmony.
Hey, thank you again for listening. Talk to you later.
When you need a four-part plus, listen to the Barbershop Forecast. You'll always know the score. Beg for more from all the knowledge you've amassed.
We bet you will be aghast,
'cause it downloads to your hard drive mighty fast. So strike up the band and give them a hand for Eric and Alan's Barbershop Forecast. It's unsurpassed, and here at last, the Barbershop Voice.